Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic skyline of Buckhead in the deep south. It's rained enough that we may have to build an ark. Its storm clouds are on the horizon, and as I see it, it's foreboding of just about everything that is happening in our nation. I have a number of things that I want to talk about today, and I think that I'm going to start out today a little bit differently than I normally do. And I'm going to start out with a prayer that I have for America. And this is what it is. Almighty God, we are few, but we are strong and resilient. Empowered by you, we will not fear the wrath of the Prince of Darkness or those who rule on his behalf. You are almighty, but the prince of this world is not. We have nothing to fear. Our victory is assured. You are the one true God, and we are your people. Those who have not bowed our knees to the false gods of progressivism or of the all-inclusive pantheism that dominates our American culture. Our lives and the fate of our nation are in your hands. Multiplied millions have strayed from you, bowing their knees to vain beliefs and false gods, abandoning the ways of our forefathers, squandering the accumulated wealth of generations, all to pursue the false beliefs of political correctness. Their precepts repudiate your will and your word, unwisely believing their way is enlightened and superior. Their foolishness, which they believe is enlightened and superior, is obvious, but they refuse to admit it, choosing instead to revise reality to suit their fanciful beliefs. Using the machinery of the federal government, they erroneously believe they can subjugate us, keeping us under their thumbs. But they are wrong. Because we are so few, they view us as weak, misguided, and without direction. But they are mistaken. They believe we are easy to intimidate by insulting our intelligence, saying we are obscurants, but we are not. They're convinced they can overpower us with their false beliefs, championing fairness over righteousness, but they are wrong. We are stronger than they can possibly imagine because our power and the source of our strength comes from you, Almighty God. We will not be intimidated, nor will we ever capitulate. Surrendering to their false gods is not an option for us, and it never will be one, regardless of the consequences. Never. Almighty God, you are our strength. We are your people, and we are resilient and unafraid. I wrote that either Saturday night or Sunday night, I'm not sure which. But I wrote it because I just couldn't sleep. I was just so distressed by so many things that I just couldn't do anything other than get up and pour out what I believe onto the computer, and I posted it, and it's on my We Believe post, and my track posts and everything. All right. Now, what I want to talk about to begin with, this is a little different than some of the shows that we have. I saw this little YouTube clip of this maybe 10-year-old boy, and it was of him praying. And it had been posted by someone who said, "How precious." I watched it, and the little boy was praying to Barack Obama. He was not praying to Almighty God. He was praying to our political leader who has fashioned himself in a way that invites this kind of adulation. Now, many people would think, oh, isn't that sweet and cute? Just a little misguided, but sweet and cute. I'm not one of those people. I do not believe that this is, to begin with, it's false. And praying to false gods, I mean, Almighty God is patient about almost everything except for having false gods in front of him. He doesn't like that at all. And those are the things that bring about catastrophe. It brought about catastrophe throughout the Old Testament for the nation of Israel. It has brought about catastrophe for Christendom when false beliefs have been used by people to do so many things. It just has it to where there are, it puts us in a position where we cannot really be who we're supposed to be. And with that, I'm going to welcome my brother who has been on Block Island today on vacation, but he called in anyway. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine, John. But now listen, if Barack Obama was really a god, wouldn't he might be a much better golfer than he is? Because he really stinks.
if you're gonna be a false god, you ought to at least be able to be a scratch golfer. That's what you're saying. Here I am in all of this seriousness, and you bring that up. I think that's hysterical. And yes, either that, or you know, since he's left-handed, he goes to his left. I bet he can't go to his right with a basketball. But we'll see about that. Now, there's something that.
He does everything to the left, doesn't he?
Well, he was up there. He's up there close to where you are. Now that he is on Martha's Vineyard, and here's something that this is kind of interesting. I put up a post 2 hours ago. They're sending a separate plane to bring the dog and two basketballs that he forgot, you know, in the White House up to where they're staying in Martha's Vineyard. And there's a plane specifically for the dog. That's the kind of financial abuse that we have. But here's something even more interesting than that. The reason that the dog wasn't on the plane with them is because in Islam, dogs are considered unclean animals. Barack Obama, I mean, you can touch them, but Barack Obama would not allow a dog to be on a plane with him because it would be a violation of the Islamic code. And you go back throughout the thing. When they flew up to Maine, they did the same thing. They brought the dog, but the dog went on a separate plane. They have never had the dog on the same plane with them. because they can't do it because he's a Muslim. And he keeps saying, you know, well, I'm a Christian, and all of these fool Christians in America, so many of them believe this nonsense, but his actions completely go against Christianity. He would, he had a Ramadan party, iftar party, to celebrate Ramadan, and he's had in the White House where he invited leading Muslims, and he has had it each year of his presidency, 5 times, and yet he consistently does things to repudiate Christianity. You know, chaplains, I mean, people in the service aren't allowed to read their Bibles. I mean, this is just, it's just this erosion and a invigoration of Islam in America. And, you know, there are these people, oh, you know, well, they're, you know, most Muslims are just really, really fine people. That's the same argument that was given in the 30s about Germany. Most Germans aren't Nazis, and they weren't. Most Germans are nice people. They were. But when Hitler got a hold of the government, he turned the nation into what he wanted it to be, and, you know, we had World War II. This is the same thing that's, you know, that's happening. I mean, the moderate Muslims, and I am certain that there are more of them than not. But do you see any of them standing up against the radical jihadists? Any place?
Nowhere.
Me either. I mean, I it just doesn't happen. Mackie, I don't get it.
I think fear comes into it. If they stand up, then they'd be in the next on their list.
Yes. And guess what? That is what's happening right now in America. We have people, Christian people, strong people, who just don't want to cause trouble. They don't want to invite, you know, the IRS to, you know, to get involved in their lives and, you know, make things difficult. So they'll just kind of like sit back. Well, this isn't the time to sit back. And the people that believe that it is or are doing so and know the truth are as complicit as the moderate Muslims and as complicit as the good Germans in Germany. I don't see it any other way. Do you?
The Germans found out too late, didn't they?
They sure did.
I hope we don't.
And just as a matter of fact, you know, Ramadan is just over. And, of course, that's why we're opening the embassies again. Because they were supposed, you know, they were worried about an attack, you know, during Ramadan. Now, in 2013, during Ramadan, which is a month, in the name of the religion of peace, how many terror attacks do you think that there were in the world?
Oh, God.
310. How many attacks do you think that there were in the name of any other religion?
None.
That's exactly right.
None.
Suicide bombings. There were 28 in the name of Islam. How many in any other religion?
None.
None. there were 1,651 dead people as a result of these attacks. How many dead people are there in the name of the attacks of any other religion?
I'm going to guess none again.
You got that? And wounded, there were 3,048. How many are wounded by people where there have been no attacks, no suicide bombings, and no dead bodies? How many do you think are wounded?
I think I'll shoot at none again.
Doggone it. There are a total of none. And this is just during this month of Ramadan that was celebrated in the, you know, by our president in the White House. Now, since 9/11, there have been a total of 21,400 attacks by radical Muslims in the world. That's a lot. That's unacceptable. And here we are, and people make excuses for this guy. It's unbelievable.
I thought they were decimated.
Al-Qaeda's on the run. Well, of course,
Al-Qaeda's decimated and on the run. Yeah, they're running around bombing people.
Well, they're stronger than ever. And the worst part of all of this is that we have abdicated our leadership role in the Middle East. We backed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood and the Egyptian people, to their credit, don't want it. Now they've got a military dictatorship. We were better off with Mubarak. He's a dictator. In the Middle East, you're not going to have Israel is a legitimate democracy. There are no other legitimate democracies in the Middle East, nor will there be. The Muslims don't have a mentality for it. They don't even conceptualize in the same terms that we do. How could they?
Right.
How could a worldview that says, okay, strap a bomb on your body, go into a bus or a hospital or a cafeteria and blow yourself up and kill a bunch of people, including kids, and God will reward you for that with 72 virgins. What kind of a world is that? And what kind of paradise would that be? To begin with, 72 virgins sounds like a lot of work to me. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot of work. And it isn't something that, I guess if you're 18 or 20 years old, that might sound like that would be very appealing. But people are doing
this. Well, they never promised them that they'd be all women, though.
Well, regardless, this is a worldview and a religion that is intent on world domination. We were talking just a minute ago about the dogs and not having a dog on the plane. Well, in Great Britain, they have bomb sniffing dogs. But because that's an affront to the religious belief of Muslims, they get exempt from dogs that could sniff the bombs because it's against their religious beliefs. And so everybody else has the dog sniffers. And, of course, there's zero attacks by anybody else, as we just went through. And all of them are by the Muslims. So it really just, by placating to the foolishness of these Muslims, we're just allowing them to,
you know, to have free access to kill us.
Yeah.
And we don't have leadership that's willing to stand up and even say that they're terrorists. This Nadal Hassan that's on trial right this minute in Texas is because of workplace violence. He killed 13 people and wounded 30. Actually, I think he or 14 because one of the women was pregnant.
Right.
But it isn't even called terror because it goes against, well, we don't want to, we don't want people to think that there's anything wrong with the Muslims. I mean, my goodness, you know.
Well, Obama Absolutely. Didn't want anybody to think that there was any terrorism in the United States. This wasn't a terror attack. This was, workplace violence.
Nor was the bomb in Boston.
Yeah.
And the stuff in Benghazi is, you know, that was just because of a video clip.
Yeah.
Now, I want to link something here with this video clip, you know, for the Benghazi thing. Because Obama, fool that he is, stood up to the world and announced that this was the cause of this attack at the UN. Everyone knows that all other nations know it was a lie and that it was manipulative. And that only someone who is clueless would do something like that. So what do? They say, he is not someone that we need to take seriously. And so they don't.
Right.
And where has this shown up? This has shown up in the Middle East, but it's also shown up in China and in Russia. In Russia, by them taking Snowden and saying they will give him asylum, who, you know, Republicans and Democrats alike in Washington consider him to be a traitor. The only major politician that I know of who says that he's a hero is Jimmy Carter. This is the only time, I think, in my whole life I've ever agreed with Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy gave away secrets that, you know, that were invaluable to us. I get that. And that part I don't like. But he pinpointed our government spying on us, listening to everything that we say, including this radio program, and using it against us, including this radio program, and that is un-American. I have a hard time, Dick, just even conceptualizing the difference of where we are now as versus where we always were. I mean, the very first thing that I remember learning about our country as a kid was that we were a nation of laws and not a nation of men. We were ruled by laws and not by the will of men. Right now, that's not true. Our constitutional rights have been absolutely... they're attempting to decimate him. Are they going to absolutely succeed? I don't know. Eric Holder wants to ease the prison problem by, you know, not going after drug dealers. That's a good idea. Just. Let the drug problem just skyrocket, which it will. But if a bunch of people are on drugs, they're certainly not much of a threat to put up any kind of resistance for any shenanigans that Holder and Obama might have in mind. We know they don't tell the truth. Obama stood out there the day after Benghazi and in the Rose Garden and said it was that video and Hillary Clinton, you know, said that, you know, that it was a reprehensible video that we had nothing to do with. And then they bought ads in Pakistan to, you know, just kind of cover for themselves. Kind of like Wiener when the first sexting things came out. He used campaign money, other people's money in other words, to hire an investigator to find out who had hacked into his account to do it, and it was just all a scam to try and make him seem like he was innocent. It's the same dadgum thing with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama with those ads out there in Pakistan. How anybody could think anything different is completely beyond my comprehension. And yet, with all of these things coming out, and as we've talked about over the week, you know, it seems apparent that the person who gave the order to stand down in Benghazi was Valerie Jarrett, who is not a cabinet person, is not elected anything. She eats dinner with Barack and Hussein, with Barack and Michelle, and, you know, and she's his, you know, kind of little right-hand person. And yet, people haven't picked up on that, have they? The press hasn't picked up on that. You know, ABC, NBC, CNN, all of them, the Washington Post, New York Times, because they haven't done their job and they refuse to do their job, they're becoming marginalized in our society. People are getting their news from Twitter. They pay attention to people like you and me.
Yeah.
You know why? Because we're telling the truth.
Because we're telling the truth. Yeah.
If they told the truth, I put up this little kind of funny blog last night. And, you know, on Facebook. And it says, how the news really works. And in the picture, it has Barack Obama sipping a Pepsi. And then it says, CNN, Obama appeals to Pepsi fan. That's the headline for him. Fox, Obama declares war on Coke. MSNBC. In about an hour, we will have live coverage of Obama drinking the best cola. All who disagree are racist. And then BBC. 18 killed in U.S. drone strike in Pakistan. You know what? So far, that's had 623 shares. 623 shares I've bought over the country a dozen times. So, it's because it's true.
Yeah.
We report on things that are just silly and trivial. Now, BBC, you know, that is a state-run thing, but they report the news, and they're accurate, or at least more times than not, totally different than what we're doing. And it's, you know, it's sad. The state of our affairs is grim, and this is the time when strong men and women, people who have a heart for Almighty God, need to stand up and be counted. Never have we been in a situation as grim as this since the Civil War. That's how I see it. All right, we have less than a minute. Tell us, did you have a good time on Block Island, and what happened?
No, it's a beautiful day in New England. So far, the humidity is down. The temperature was in the mid-70s. Just a beautiful day. And
we just love that. And you know what else we love? The Patriots are about to start. Football's about to start. Red Sox are in first place, and so are the Braves. And we're out of time. Thanks, Dick,
yeah.
And God bless you, and God bless. the United States of America. Good night, folks.